Second reading today from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians talks about how Paul, coming to the Corinthians, says, "When I came to you, I preached nothing but Christ crucified. I preached nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Why? Well, he'd just come from Athens. And if you've read through the Acts of the Apostles, you know that he had a little bit of a struggle in Athens. He went and he spoke with sublime wisdom. He spoke with worldly wisdom and then drew from where they were into this philosophical understanding of the unknown God. And he says, and that is Jesus. And he starts talking about resurrection. And while people sometimes say that that was the high point of Paul's preaching, it was actually the low point of Paul's preaching. It was the worst turnout of anyone whatsoever, everywhere. Everyone laughed at him, walked away, and there were a few people who said, maybe we'll listen to this a little bit more later. But most of the people said, this stinks. What are you talking about? This doesn't make any sense. And so Paul says, no more. I'm not doing philosophy anymore. As an aside, most of the seminarians were glad to get through philosophy and be done with it too. But no more philosophy. I'm resolving to know nothing except Christ and Him crucified. Now, again, going back to my time in the seminary, out at Mundelein Seminary, there's symbols everywhere. I mean, the whole campus is symbolic, as the way it's built and everything. But on the doorknobs, to every door, there's a cross. And sometimes people looked at that and said, that's kind of sick. You have all these signs of death everywhere. But as Christians, we don't look at the cross as a sign of death. We look first that it's a sign of love, right? It's what God did for us. When we look at the cross, we don't see, ew, although that could be a natural reaction. What we see is God loved us that much. That's how far He went. He held nothing back. He gave everything, every drop of His blood. This is important. When we look to the cross, yes, we see death, but we also see the resurrection. Yes, we see the hatred of everyone around Him, but we see the great love that He is pouring out. And this love is total, and it is a faithful love, and it is a free love, and it is a fruitful love. This love, which is a complete love of God, where He gives everything and holds nothing back, every drop of His blood. It is a free love. He didn't have to stay on the cross. When I was graduating from high school, my mother did a cross stitch for me, a beautiful cross stitch with flowers and all this, and a cross, and there's this drapery thing over the cross, and the words next to it says, it wasn't nails that held Him to the cross, but His love for you and me. He could have come down. He is God, after all. He could have come down from that cross. He was freely giving this gift, but He chose to stay on the cross because He loves us. Because He loves us. So it's a total gift of everything. It's a free gift. It's a fruitful gift because it brings forth life. As Christ died on the cross, it gave life to us. The symbolism that when He was pierced in the side and water and blood flowed out, the fathers talk about how then that was the lifeblood of the Eucharist and baptism, which then gives life to the church. That by His death and resurrection, we have eternal life. So it's total, it's free, it's fruitful, and it's also faithful. That He lived it to the end. His love was complete, and it was he would not turn back. That is the amazing and total love that God has for you and me, and we see it right there on the cross. You may have noticed on the sign as you were driving past sometime this week or even as you were driving up to park that says that this weekend is World Marriage Day. And the beautiful thing that we see is that the church speaks about how Christ has raised marriage from a natural sacrament to a supernatural sacrament. And that supernatural sacrament is also a sign of God's love for the world. St. Paul says in a letter to the Ephesians, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." In the same way that Christ loves the church, so husbands are supposed to love their wives. That there is this bond, this relationship within marriage, which is a sign of the love of Christ and His church. And so married couples are also supposed to love total, faithful, free, and fruitful. Those four ways. It's an amazing thing. And I must thank all of you faithful married couples out there who are that sign to the world of God's love for us. And no matter how bad things get, you stick through it. God bless you. I see some eyes rolling. You know what it's like. Okay. But there's this beauty that if someone were to say to you on your wedding day, "Here is your cross." Yeah, exactly. It's not like, but it's a cross to be loved, to be embraced. It is a cross of love, which is where you give yourselves totally as Christ did. You hold nothing back. Will you take so-and-so? They haven't told for in good times and in bad. It is a total gift. Not when you feel like it. No, it's total. Give yourself totally. It is free. If there's a shotgun behind you, it ain't a marriage. Right? It's got to be a free gift of self to the other. It is fruitful. It's supposed to bring life. It's not supposed to be... You know, we see a lot in the media today, you know, as people joke about you know, how marriage is terrible. One of my friends, I want to slap him every time somebody asks him, "So how are you doing?" And he says, "I'm still married." And you know, now he's got a great marriage. I mean, he and his wife are still very much in love after 30 plus years. But he does that for a rise. And we lose the fact that marriage is supposed to be life-giving. It's not supposed to be life-choking. That in our total gift of self to the other, it's supposed to be building each other up and creating life. And so marriage is total, it's free, it's fruitful, and it's faithful. That you say, "I will love you to the end. I will stay with you." Now, of course, there are times when marriage fails, and I'm not going to get into that today. That's for another day, not on World Marriage Sunday, some other day. But the point why God made marriage is to be that sign of His love for the world. And then it is from that that we get the furthering of the human race through offspring. And what a beautiful thing it is. And so, my brothers and sisters, you who are married are called to be that sign of Christ's love for the world. I need to see this as a priest. I need to. Because I need to see couples who are so dedicated to each other that you love each other through thick and thin, so that in my hard days, when I have a hard time loving the church, I can say, "Look at them, they endured so much. I can endure, you know, the little headaches I have to go through." The world needs to see this witness. It is so necessary in these days to see the beauty and the power of marriage. My sisters and brothers, let us look at this sacrament, this grace, this sign of God's love for the world. And let us, those of you who are married, enter more fully and deeply into this grace of total and faithful and free and fruitful love each and every day.